Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Okay, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chapter 21, Qualities of Sri Krishna, page 22. Srila Jiva Goswami, the four divisions are the first 50 qualities, the second 5 qualities, the third 5 qualities, and the last 4 qualities. For the four classes of qualities, examples are given by quoting authoritative statements. These are from scriptures, commentaries on the scriptures, testimonies of the great devotees following after the scriptures, and statements in agreement with those. These are of two types, those which astonish by presenting aspects of Krishna as the Lord, and those which astonish by presenting Krishna's human pastimes. Even though Krishna is God, his human pastimes also cause astonishment. Thus it is said, for him who orchestrates the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the three worlds, and who possesses unlimited spiritual qualities, it is hardly amazing that he subdues an opposing party. Still, when the Lord does so, imitating human behavior, sages glorify his acts. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:50-29. My dear Master, although you have nothing to do with material existence, you come to this earth and imitate material life just to expand the varieties of ecstatic enjoyment for your surrendered devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:14-37. Similarly, the earth describes the qualities of the Lord in Srimad Bhagavatam 1:16-27, quoted in the earlier, and as well, there are examples such as Pashya, Vindya, Giritopi Garishtam, cited in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.1.61 in the text itself. Like that would be where we can put a footnote. So we know what that one is, yeah. Yeah, the examples that will be given will be of two types. The one presenting Krishna as the Lord, you know, how his greatness and everything and how that's applied there, or how he's performing his human pastimes, and then also it's very amazing, very wonderful.
Examples of what?
Sorry?
Examples for what?
For the 64 qualities. So we'll see, they may come from either of the two. Point is it's just giving all the different, what the scriptures say about the qualities of the Lord. So 64 is basically what's revealed, those unlimited qualities.
So now can we say that it is one aspect is Lord in Vaikuntha, one aspect in Goloka Vrindavan?
You can, but it's also just pointing out that he means in his features as the Lord, how it's Paramatma, how he pervades everything. These aspects like that. So you get that aspect. I mean, how through the whole creation, then he is glorious. Whether it's in Braj, performing his pastimes, whether it's in Dwarka, whether it's in Vaikuntha, as the Purusha avatars, like this, wherever it is, then, you know, as it comes in his pastimes, his Leela avatars, it doesn't matter. He's glorious on all these levels. But sometimes the example will be from one, sometimes from another, but it's all about him. That's the point. So we shouldn't say, oh, these are only these ones. What about the other one? Because it's the same person. He's just manifesting one place and one another place. Because we always have to remember the aspect of the Lord remaining hidden. Right? And it's only then through coming in contact with the parampara and from the acharyas, then the Lord is revealed. So,
Maharaj, which part did you mention should be a footnote?
It says, similarly, the earth describes the qualities of the Lord in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.16.27, quoted in the earlier and as well are examples such as this. They cited in Srimad Bhakti Rasamrita Symbol 2.1.61. So you have what she's quoted from the Bhagavatam there, but it's also this other aspect quoted in Bhakti Rasamrita Symbol 2.1.61. So it means unless we have one of those eidetic memories, we just don't remember these things. You know. And it's not that eidetic memory is so fabulous, because it doesn't necessarily mean that you can actually personally interact with people. So, right. So therefore, means these kind of things. Then you put that as a footnote. You know, then it's we can see how it's, because you want to get that sangati, how what he's saying here he's already said before. You know, and it brings out a little bit that context, so we appreciate it. We can expand on what we're getting like that. Because the normal academic thing would be you'd go back and look it up.
Yes.
But in the present context, people don't do that. So we want to put it there for them. Because the point is, we want them to know. It's not about, no, we want them to think. He says, mm-hmm. We want them to know. From that, then they'll think. Because if they don't know, they don't even have an interest. So you're trying to give as much exposure so that they then see these contexts, and because of seeing that, then they're inspired.
Yes.
Sir? Yeah. Okay, so the first quality, one, suryam yangaha, beautifully limbed. 2.1.45, slag yanga sanivesho ya suram yanga sa kataye. A person who is endowed with praiseworthy bodily parts is called beautifully limbed. 2.1.46. That's so we see Krishna is not just one part. You know, it's like everything is perfect. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say, in the fashion world, you have people that are just like hand models or foot models, or, you know, some that part of their body is beautifully limbed, but it's only that one part. But Krishna, every limb is beautiful. 2.1.46. That sweetness, the form of Murari reveals. His face is like the moon. His thighs are like elephant trunks. His arms are as sturdy as the bases of pillars. His hands are the object of praise for lotuses. His chest is as broad as a door. His hips are massive. And his waist is thin. Srila Prabhupada. Beautiful bodily features. Any comparison of the different parts of the Lord's body to different material objects cannot factually be a complete comparison. Ordinary persons who cannot understand how exalted are the bodily features of the Lord are simply given a chance to understand by a material comparison. Right? Because you're starting from themselves. So we said the inductive. You start from themselves, something they can relate to, and then you know all these things are something great. And so you're trying to point out that the Lord's bodily features are very wonderful. So if one then accepts that point, then that devotional acceptance, having heard from authority, then Krishna will start to reveal himself. Right? So you have to start something that will create interest. It is said that Krishna's face is as beautiful as the moon. His thighs are powerful just like the trunks of elephants. His arms are just like two pillars. His palms are expanded like lotus flowers. His chest is just like a doorway. Right, so it means we're not talking about one of these little dinky, you know, doorways and that. You know, like, we're talking about a nice, you know, nice doorway. You know, that you call a door. It means you go through a door, you don't call it a doorway. Right, you go to one of these places and they have this nicely developed, you know, like that, and decorated big door. Then you say, that's a doorway. Does that make sense? Because if I say doorway, you don't think of that little one in that little side closet down there that's only like, you know, one and a half, you know, like a little over a meter high, and just like, you know, we're not talking about that one. Yeah, we're not talking. Because you don't think of that as a doorway. You know, you think of it as like that. His hips are dense, and the middle of his body is a terrace. So just saying, you know, so all these things, yeah. So you just see is that the I say, Rupa Goswami gives, and then the Acharyas, then they expand on that, so then you get a very nice. As was explained previously, though the Lord cannot really be compared to material things, such as the moon, these examples are given so that ordinary people can begin to understand the glories of the Lord. But when the Lord's intimate associates give descriptions of the Lord, comparing Krishna's feature to the moon and other objects, it should be understood in all cases that the moon and other objects of comparison are his spiritual vibhutis, directly participating in his pastimes. Right? So, the moon is beautiful because of Krishna's vibhuti, because of Krishna's opulence. And then those opulences now are taking part in this pastime as coming as the beauty of his face like the moon. But the beauty of the moon comes from Krishna. And then they take part by serving as coming in this way, and so he's related to the, his beauty to the moon. Does that make sense? So it's all, so everything is servant of Krishna. His own energies, even though they're coming from him, they're still servants of him. The verse will be given as illustrations without further regard for this fact. Right, so now that it's been mentioned, now they're not going to say this every time. They've explained it here. Now it'll just be the verses go on, and you understand it what it is. Avyera alam, compact, means that because of the massive nature of his hips, it is impossible to consider it in parts. Right? It's all one thing. You don't say this hip, that hip. It's all just one entity. So that's the beauty of the hips. So that they go together. So, yeah. 2. Sarva sal lakshanan vitaha. Krishna's body is endowed with all the auspicious features. Right? That's the next quality to be described. 2.147. Good indications or auspicious characteristics are of two types. Bodily features, gunotam, and the markings on the hands and feet, ankotam. Right? So he has both. Gunotam refers to such things as redness or elevation of the limb. 2.149. Oh friend, I see that your child has 23 auspicious marks on his body. How is it possible that such a child could be born in a cowherd's house? 7 places on his body are red. 7 limbs are elevated. 3 limbs are broad. 3 limbs are short. 3 limbs are deep. 5 limbs are long. 5 limbs are fine. Srila Prabhupada. 2. Auspicious characteristics. There are certain characteristics of different limbs, right? Because we've already said his limbs are he's beautifully limbed. Mm-hmm. And then those are all those aspects that also have all that auspiciousness. Mm-hmm. Is all there. You know, because some will have this and that. They have all these qualities, all the markings. So all the limbs, who has that? Right? Only the Supreme Lord, right? So that's how is he born in the cowherd's house? You know, because the cowherds won't have all those. Like that. There are certain characteristics of different limbs which are considered to be very auspicious and are fully present in the Lord, body of the Lord. In this connection, one friend of Nanda Maharaj, speaking about Lord Krishna's auspicious bodily symptoms, said, quote, "My dear king of the cowherds, I can find 32 auspicious symptoms. On the body of your son. I am wondering how this boy could have taken birth in a family of cowherd men." End quote. Generally, when the Lord appears, he does so in a family of Kshatriyas, kings, as did Lord Ramachandra, and sometimes in a family of Brahmanas. But Krishna accepted the role of son to Maharaj Nanda. Despite the fact that Nanda belonged to the Vaishya community, the business of the Vaishya community is trade, commerce, and protection of cows. Therefore, his friend, who may have been born into a Brahmin family, expressed his wonder at how such an exalted child could take birth in a family of Vaishyas. Anyway, he pointed out the auspicious signs on the body of Krishna to the boy's foster father. And so he's seeing all these auspicious things and he's pointing it out. He continued, "This boy has a reddish luster in 7 places. His eyes, the ends of his hands," that means the palms, right? Because in the Vedic, exactly, the end of the arm is the hand, right? And the end of the hand is the palm. So you're taking as you're going down, right? So, the ends of his legs. So that'll be the what do you call it?
Souls.
Souls, yes. Mm-hmm. His palate, his lips, his tongue, and his nails. Right. So on his nails, you'll see they have a nice that reddish hue.
Yes.
Like that. Mm-hmm. You know, so generally if we have it's a little bit reddish, it's considered healthy. If they're just white, it's considered there's some problem. But his are, you know, very nice. That's why you see in the deities when they paint the hands with that pinkish, and then the nails like that. So you see in all the traditionals they'll do that. They'll do a nice red, you know. But a lot of times devotees, they somehow or another find the difficulty in that. So then they'll paint a lighter, or you know, paint it around and put a little bit more in one place. You know, they'll do, you know, they'll make it look nice. They'll make it look very beautiful. But you see in the traditional deities, you know, the Goswami's deities, it's just a nice, you know, pleasant, bright red. Like that. You know, so it'll be something in between. Right? A reddish luster in these seven places is considered to be auspicious. Three parts of his body are very broad. His waist, forehead, and chest. Right? Because the waist should be wide. Mm-hmm. And then the chest is very wide and forehead wide. That means then it's how you say?
Intelligent.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Three body parts of his body are short: his neck, thighs, and genitals. So the neck, you know, this very long neck is not. It's balanced, you know, because otherwise when it gets longer than
Africans.
Yeah. So I mean, they find a particular beauty in that, but, you know, just like cranes, you know, check out the neck on that one. You know, so it's there, you know. That, the thighs, so it's interesting, if you notice the older things or older deities, the thighs aren't very big. You know, the torso is more big, and the what do you call it? The calves, you know, just below the knee will be a little bit more. But generally, if you see the Western kind of paintings, the thighs are always very long. That's, mm-hmm. Someone gets very tall because the thighs are longer. And then you add something to the torso. But you see that for Krishna, there's that balance. The thighs aren't that big. You know, I mean, they're proper proportion, but they're not extra long. Does that make sense?
Is that why Lord Chaitanya's hands reach down to his knees?
That's also is the arms are longer. Like that, because even though you can say the thighs are shorter, but the torso is bigger.
Right.
And so it's still, you know, it's something extras. Okay. Yeah. Three parts of his body are very deep: his voice, intelligence, and navel. Right? So is that, yeah. You know, these are all appreciated. Right, so if you have a shallow navel, it's not considered as auspicious. Or if the navel sticks out, that's not considered good at all. So it should go in. So Krishna's is very deep. There is highness in five parts of his body: his nose, arms, ears, forehead, and thighs. Right, so the nose means it means you have that curve on the nose. You know, it means it comes up.
Yeah.
Like that. It's not this, you know, that straight Roman nose. There's some curve in it. It comes up. Like that. His arms, you know, so it's not that they're the shoulders are, you know, it's like from the neck, then it slopes down to the shoulders, it goes across.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So the shoulders are up, you know, does that make sense? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
His ears, right, so they're not too low and all that. It means they'll be a nice size, like this. His ears, forehead, so this, we said it's wide and it's also high. So that together, then, you know, you're dealing with some nice intelligence. And the thighs, right? And so then they'll also be, you know, they'll be quite muscular. That's why it says they're like the trunks of elephants.
Mm-hmm.
In five parts of his body, there is fineness. His skin, the hairs on his head, and on the other parts of his body. So all his hairs are very fine. They're not rough. His teeth are fine, and his fingertips. The aggregate of all these bodily features is manifest only in the bodies of great personalities. Srila Jiva Goswami. These are the words of one elderly friend of Nanda Maharaj. The red parts of the body are edges of the eyes, soles of the feet, palms of the hand, roof of the mouth, upper and lower lips, tongue and nails. Six elevated limbs are chest, shoulders, nails, nose, waist, and mouth. elevated. What did he have before? What was Prabhupada putting out there?
Waste wasn't there.
No, that's broad, short, three deep, highness. Six elevated.
Yeah,
no, but it's in a different order here. So where's the chest? Elevated limbs.
Nose and ears, forehead, thighs.
Yeah. This also means what you hear is the nails means that they're not flat. Generally, if there's flat, your nails are flat, there's a problem. They should be rounded. Things like that. So nose, waist is, rounded mouth. Yeah. Three broad are waist, forehead, and chest. Three short limbs are neck, lower legs, and genitals. Three deep limbs are navel, voice, and intelligence. Five long limbs are nose, arms, eyes, cheeks, and knees. Five fine limbs are skin, head hair, body hair, teeth, and finger joints. These are the marks of a great personality, according to literature concerning bodily markings. With these 32 auspicious markings, Krishna possesses the best markings among all the cowherd people with auspicious markings. Such markings are not found even in the avatars of the Lord. So how is it possible for these markings to appear on a cowherd boy? Now, even the avatars come, they don't necessarily manifest all these. Because that's what it's saying. Krishna's form is the most perfect of all the forms. 2.150. Ankotam refers to lines such as the chakra on the hands or feet. 251. O king of the cowherd men, see, on the hands of your child there are clear lines of the lotus and chakra, and on his feet there are marks of a flag, thunderbolt, goat, fish, and a lotus. Right, so this is one of the friends of the Nanda Maharaj. So before people knew all these different things, you know, but it was just general knowledge for them. That. Srila Prabhupada, the fate lines on the palm are also considered to be auspicious bodily symptoms. In this connection, one old gopi informed King Nanda, your son possesses various wonderful fate lines on his palms. There are signs of lotus flowers and wheels on his palms, and on his soles are the signs of a flag, thunderbolt, a fish, a rod for controlling elephants, and a lotus flower. Please observe how auspicious these signs are. Srila Jiva Goswami. In this verse, one elderly gopi speaks, the list of lines is representative only, not complete. From the works like the Padma Purana, one should understand that there are other remarkable lines as well. So she's just giving the main ones. In the Padma Purana, Brahma speaks, quote, listen, Narada, I will tell you about the marks on the Lord's feet. I have previously told you about the unlimited avatars of Krishna, who is full of bliss. Later, I will say that Krishna is the original form of God. Krishna has appeared on earth for assisting the devatas and sages, and out of a desire to see his own devotees. I, and no one else, know the marks by which the Lord, who is most affectionate to his devotees, can be known. I speak the truth, for I have seen 16 marks on his feet. Like, so he's there with the Lord, so he's seen them, right? On his right foot are 8 marks, and on the left foot are 7 marks. O best of Vaishnavas, on the right foot can be seen the marks of a flag, lotus, thunderbolt, goad, barleycorn, swastika, an upward line, and an octagon. O best of the Vaishnavas, now I'll tell you about the 7 marks on his left foot. There's a rainbow, a triangle, a pot, a crescent moon, a compass, a fish, and a hoof print of a cow. Whenever one sees these marks on the feet of someone, O learned sage, without a doubt, the Supreme Brahman has taken birth on earth as that person. O best of Vaishnavas, 2, 3, 4, or 5 of these marks will sometimes be found on the feet of Krishna's avatars. Hear about the 16 marks, O best of the sages, among the devatas. Sometimes a mark resembling a jambu fruit will be seen. Right, so he says about the 16, because there's sometimes this jambu fruit will be, so that'll make 16. From other scriptures and from the Tapanis, Akamas, and Varaha Purana, it is understood that there are also signs of the conch, chakra, and umbrella on his feet. So the Agamas, then those sorts come from. So Agamas generally means the Pancharatra, the Tapanis, I mean like the Gopal Tapani Upanishad, like these. And then the Varaha Purana. So they explain them all very nicely. Yes.
This mark on the lotus feet of Krishna.
Yes.
They are. All for all his pastime from the beginning. The
yes, yes, they're always there. They're that's the point. It says Krishna Loka. It means it's the same Krishna. It's just that different devotees relate to him in different moods. Therefore, you get Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka. Mm. Does that make sense? So it's the same person.
Yes. It's all these. All these mark of the feet are always on Krishna in any place where he is.
Yes, like that. But we'll see his different avatars.
Yes.
They have, you know, like you said, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes. Yes.
Like that. So they won't have all 7 or 8 on one foot.
Yes.
They'll have some of these.
It means that a person who knows about all these signs can recognize when it is.
When it's Krishna's feet, yes. So that's the point that's there, is the Shastras pointed out. And then these are being pointed out to Nanda Maharaj because all of them are present on his feet.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it's seen.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 2-1.
So it's meant that by kindness that he shows us his mark for them we remember.
He's just coming in his original form, and so that has all those marks.
Mm-hmm.
They're just pointing out, Rupa Goswami is pointing out all the good qualities of Krishna, and so this is one of them. He has the all these auspicious marks.
Mm-hmm.
So Krishna has all of them.
And I've never heard it represent the best sense of Krishna each mark, so we can try to make a word. If I tell a story, I said this lotus flower represent the past tense at Goloka Vrindavan. Is it correct?
The point is the lotus is one aspect. It's just, you know, where he is, his lotuses, he has features like the lotus, he always has, as in the Vishnumurtis, he carries a lotus. So it's just one of the things. So it's just these auspicious marks then have their, you know, position. So it's just it's one of the sciences is the auspicious marks. So that, you know, that they may represent pastimes, but everything's connected to his pastimes. But the point is that he as a person, as a complete person, then he has his pastimes. So that if aspects of these are brought out, like it sometimes the beauty of his face may be brought out in the pastime, or the strength of his arms, like he kills Aristasura, the strength of his arms will come out. You know, or how he's dealing with some of them, his cleverness comes out. So it's not that these qualities aren't manifest at different times and different pastimes. You know what I'm saying? But we don't have to take it that they have authority because they're connected with the pastimes, because they're Krishna himself, his bodily features, that's their importance. And everything coming from him, so why there wouldn't be these connections? But it's not because there's the connection that gives it the authority. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let's say, Srila Prabhupada's books, they have their authority, whether anybody accepts them or not. And then, let's say, some academic or some celebrity then reads them and appreciates them. It's not that now that gives it authority. In the common person's mind, then they'll pay attention.
Yes.
But the spiritual authority and the spiritual potency is there without all this.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. 2-1-52. Ruchira means he gives bliss to the eye by his beauty. Right? So that beauty is there. That beauty is all auspicious. That beauty is there. It has, because every limb is perfect. It, you know, it also has, you know, all auspicious markings are there. You know, both in the form and in the markings on the hands and soles of the feet. Then it's also just that form gives bliss to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we can see is that all the qualities start from the form.
Yes.
Right? So the six opulences starts from the form. Mm. And then from there expands everything. 2.153. All the demigods from the upper, lower, and middle universal planetary systems assembled at the altar of the Rajasuya sacrifice, performed by Maharaj Yudhishthira. After seeing the beautiful bodily features of Lord Krishna, they all realized that whatever Brahma had previously created and had now completely entered into Krishna. So whatever beauty is there in the cosmos, it's all there in Krishna. So whatever Brahma has created in the universe, then it's all there in Krishna. As it said before, is that all the beauty in the universe, these are just vibhutis of his beauty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a small portion of his beauty is there in all beautiful things.
Mm-hmm.
And so now Krishna appearing, all his vibhutis, or all his incarnations, they're all within him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're originally in him, and then they expand, but when he comes, they're all there. You're able to appreciate them, how they're all in him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the source of all beauty. Srila Prabhupada, 3, pleasing. Beautiful bodily features which automatically attract the eyes are called ruchira, pleasing. Krishna possesses this attractive feature of ruchira in his personal features. In the third canto, second chapter, verse 13 of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a statement about this. Quote, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his pleasing dress appeared at the scene of the sacrificial arena when King Yudhishthira was performing the Rajasuya sacrifice. All important personalities from different parts of the universe had been invited to the sacrificial arena, and all of them, upon beholding Krishna there, considered that the Creator had ended all his craftsmanship in the creation of this particular body of Krishna. Right? Because they're saying is that he's done it, so the perfection of all his craftsmanship is there in Krishna. As we see, as it mentioned before, is that it's all his beauty is spread throughout everything in the universe, and taking all that beauty from everything, and that being in the body of Krishna, then they're saying this about the Creator, though Krishna's self is self-manifest. Srila Jiva Goswami. Right, because the poetics is about people.
Yes.
You know, that's the whole thing.
That's so much like the description of the universal form where it describes the Arjuna soul, everything, the whole universe simultaneously. And you hear you have the whole beauty, everything.
Yes. Yes, but there, because it's based on knowledge, then it's not so beautiful.
Yes.
Right, because that's in the opposite position. The jnana is the opposite position of beauty. It's with sankarshan. Huh?
It was not ruchira.
Yes. So, therefore, in Krishna, all these things are there in the perfect balance. In the universal form, it's just these are the ingredients. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like the difference is that, let's say we go into a workshop, and all the ingredients for building something is all laid out. You know, all the whole shop, you can see everything, every detail. It's not attractive. It's a bit overwhelming. Right? You know, I mean, how much space would, you know, let's say like a car take up? But then when you put it all together, then you can see, okay, there's an attractive feature. So that's the point, is that Krishna in that perfect balance. Because otherwise in the universal form, there's different degrees and this and that and so on. Coming from good qualities are just a force. So they're the attitude of beauty. But the point is that other living entities are appreciated because of their connection to Krishna. Because the point is the good qualities themselves, where does that come from? So the good qualities, do they stand on their own? You know what I'm saying? We're going from the gross to the subtle. You know, but some don't even notice that. They only notice the intellectual. You know, or then you have those, okay, it's the consciousness. But then, what about the connection to Krishna? That's the universal point. The other one will only be appreciated by a particular, you know, group of people with a particular mentality. Does that make sense? Srila Jiva Goswami, they realized Aman Yata, that whatever skill Brahma had utilized in previous creations was included in the beauty of Krishna. Everything was included within one fraction of the beauty of Krishna, right? So it's even a fraction. So that means that's whatever's there and Krishna's beyond that. Right? Because otherwise, if it's just all the drops of beauty throughout the creation put in one place, that's Tilottama. Right? But Krishna is that, it's only a fraction, and he's beyond that. So all of those are already within him, and it's only a fraction of his beauty. So you can understand he's the source of all beauty.
Yes.
So, there's another version with Amamshta instead of Amanyata, but that is a printing error. What, Amamshta? Is that we can put in a footnote? No. Why we want to know that that's a printing error? It's just that you have sometimes that there's somebody's written, so somebody might have just mistaken how they wrote it down.
Copy.
Hmm?
They were copying the books.
Yeah, they take the books and they copy by hand, so sometimes they. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. So they didn't have the thing of look at one word, write the one word. Look at the next word, write the next word.
They interesting didn't. If they don't have the mistakes.
Huh?
They don't commit mistakes, those guys too.
Yeah, because they just do that, you know, so. But then they don't understand what it means. They can write it down nicely. Hmm.
Yeah, it appears often.
Oh, this word.
Sometimes.
Yeah, so that's why you'll see that they deal with more than the word in its different aspects. And some of them are correct, it doesn't matter, and then sometimes like this, they just point out it's just wrong. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. The verse states that the Lord is also Brahma's creation, though factually Brahma is not the creator of the Lord. Right? It's just for poetics, they're just saying. Because they're trying to bring out beauty, and so much beauty is there, and the Creator's made all this beauty, and so Krishna is the most beautiful, so it's the perfection of the Creator's endeavors. But as pointed out by Jiva Goswami, that's only a point, a portion, a fraction of his beauty. So it's way beyond that. 2154. Or another example. If the bee-like eyes of the gopis fall upon one among the eight lotus-like bodily parts of Krishna, the enemy of the Danavas, they will not be able to rise from the thick honey of his beauty. You know, it's just like the bee. If it lands on the honey, it's so thick it won't be able to fly off. You know, it's come to taste and it's stuck. Srila Prabhupada. It is said that the transcendental body of Krishna resembles the lotus flower in eight parts, namely his face, his two eyes, his two hands, his navel, and his two feet. The gopis and inhabitants of Vrindavan used to see the luster of lotus flowers everywhere, and they could hardly withdraw their eyes from such a vision. Jiva Goswami. Since the first of the two examples is a mixture of ruchira, pleasing, and Suram Yanga, beautifully limbed. The author, not being satisfied, gives a pure example in verse 54. The eight lotus-like parts of Krishna's body are his face, two eyes, his navel, his two feet, and his two hands. These, of course, are only representative of other limbs, which are also most beautiful. Right? So it means, yeah, so everything is beautiful, but then you'll see it, all those aspects come together at this point. Because his arms are beautiful, but then you see the lotus aspect with the hand. 2155. Tejasa yuktaha. Tejo dhamma rabha vas chet yuchyate dvi dvidham buddhai. The wise say there are two meanings of tejas. Dhamma, effulgence, and prabhava, conquering the enemy. Okay, so that's how you get that, the Tejas, Shakti and Tejas.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because we're generally taking effulgence, because there's the connection with Lakshmi. but there's no exploitation. See, the difficulty is we, that aspect of Tejas, we try to exploit the material energy. That's our goal. But with Krishna, it's not. Right? Means his energies are there. He doesn't exploit because he is renounced. His mind is controlled. Right? Does that make sense? Kalyana Gurus.
Yeah. So all the qualities are Kalyana Gurus. All the 64 qualities and everything is Kalyana Gurus. And the 6 are the major ones which have been discussed.
Oh, okay.
That way, can we say?
Means naturally, if you have the 6, everything's going to expand from there.
Yeah.
You'd have to take it from that aspect. So if you're taking 6 qualities, then that means they must include all the other qualities.
Okay.
Yes.
My question is about beautiful.
Beautiful.
Yes. For example, now we sometimes we conditioned by modern explanation of what is the beauty.
Okay.
And some points which describe Krishna's beauty are different, like for example Roman nose or some other points. And
yes.
How it will be happen that we will be attracted by beauty of original beauty of Shri Krishna? We must be purified by practice, or when we will see Krishna, then we will be attracted by his original form.
You have both. As you're purified, Krishna is revealing himself, and so then you're appreciated. Point is that this is your natural form from that the human beauty is coming from, right? And then from that you expand it out and you get all the devatas and everything else. So they all have these aspects. But at the same time is that there's going to be, by the modes of nature, you're going to consider something very good. You know, so it's just a matter of what it is. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like he's talking about the long arms, not the long legs. You know what I'm saying? You know, insects have long legs. You know, yeah. Is that what he's saying? But you don't feel talking about that because nobody has. So even some scholars will say it's just a poetic explanation. It's not actually Krishna has longer arms, but it's he actually has longer arms. Does that make sense?
But can we say that, for example, for beauty, we can have an explanation according to our goodness, our shamina?
Yes, yes.
And also about Vishuddha Sattva.
Yes.
Coming from Krishna.
Yes. Yeah, it's just a matter of, because it's from Krishna, so it's, yes, it's the Vishuddha Sattva. Otherwise, we're looking at it from the modes.
Yes.
You know, it's just like here, it talks about Krishna's, broad chest,
yes,
or high shoulders. Now it be, but before you talk about, you know, so you go back, I don't know, 30, 40 years or more, before you talked about, you know, the man had a broad chest.
Yes.
Now they don't talk about that. They talk about, you know, just the muscles are developed, you know, from the gym.
Yes.
So it has nothing to do with whether it's wide or not. It means you do the muscles, you kind of, you know, there is some width it happens.
Yes.
Like that. But it's not about that. But at the same time, as you find that by them developing, their shoulders actually aren't high. Because they develop around the neck so much that the shoulders don't come out more square, they come out at a slope. Because you develop the neck so much, it creates a slant.
Yes, yes.
You know. So it's just, it's a particular kind of beauty. But I kind of remember that particular shoulders comes to mind. I kind of think hyenas have that. But as you know, you do have on some animals that they have that more structure, because like the hyenas, the whole thing is about their jaw and their neck. They have some ridiculous, you know, chomping power.
The strongest.
Yeah, the strongest. That's the scary part about them. So you kind of see it there. You know, they're really out of proportion. They're really dinky backside and these kind of around their shoulders, it gets really big, but it's not powerful like a lion's shoulders, you know, that we're talking about. It's another kind of thing. So it's just depending upon your, yeah.
Gorillas have shoulders like that too.
Yeah, Sorry?
Gorillas have
shoulders like that also. Yeah, they're big like that. They have also the thin waist and all those things like that.
Huh? Long arms.
Yeah, they have long arms. Yeah. So it just depends upon your modes, which ones are attractive. You know, it's like a terrace, but we're looking at the muscles rather than just the overall effect.
Yes.
You know, does that make sense? So it's that they're seeing aspects, but seeing the wrong thing.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Let's say, you have the quality of the chudder. Let's say you have a fine wool chudder, you know? Then it's the quality of the wool, the weave itself, the, you know, different things like that. But at the same time as those chudders that are of a certain quality, they only come in certain colors. They may not be known, but they're not in a wide range of colors. They're in very specific colors.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So now, if someone doesn't really know, but they've understood that this is a good chudder, mm-hmm. the only thing that they'll catch due to lack of knowledge is the color.
Yes.
So now they'll look for the color.
Yes. Yes.
Right? And as long as it's good, it might work. But the point is that other people can just make something that's that color and then haribo.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So it's just that one isn't actually seeing it in its original context. So it's not seen in the human context.
Mm-hmm.
So tatta dhamma. Dipti rasir bhavet dhamma. Dhamma refers to effulgence. Srila Prabhupada, effulgence. The effulgence pervading the universe is considered to be the rays of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The supreme abode of Krishna is always throwing off the effulgence known as Brahma Jyotir, and that effulgence is emanating from his body. So it's coming from his body, pervading everything, and coming off from everything. That's why you see is that the higher the consciousness that you're absorbed in Krishna, then the more that effulgence is there. So because you have Krishna, then the effulgence is there, naturally. 2157. Though the Kustuba jewel, the king of jewels, discredits the sun by its shining rays, it appears like only a star on the Lord's chest, which shines much brighter than the Kustuba. Right? Because when you have the Kustuba on its own, then you have the aspect of people being very attractive. Right? Like that. You know, it's like the Shamantaka jewel. They were so impressed by that because it was glowed like the sun. But when Krishna put it on, it didn't have that effect.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's so much more effulgent.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like that, yeah. Srila Jiva Goswami. Though this is true, the Lord also hides his effulgence in order to perform his earthly pastimes. Should be understood that because of doing this, one is able to perceive the effulgence of the sun and other sources of illumination. Otherwise, if Krishna didn't, you wouldn't notice any of them. He just, that's what he's saying in the end of the Ishvaparinishad, the devotee is asking the devotee to remove his effulgence so he can see him. Krishna says, Naham prakashas sarvasya yoga maya sama vritaha. Covered by yoga maya, I am not revealed to all people. Bhagavad Gita 7:25. Another version of the text is Kastuba Manir Udir Iva. The Kastuba jewel is like the moon. Instead of Mandirad Ayam Udur Iva, king of jewels like the moon. Yes?
Is it why we put under the deity the effulgence?
Yes. Yeah, because he always has. And it looks very nice.
Yes.
So it's just part of Krishna. So,
so
yeah.
If there is no effulgence, it is a mistake.
It's also just a matter of if you have the facilities and all that. But the point is, this is a natural thing that's done. So then, you know, at least in the big temples and that, they can arrange these things.
Yes.
you know, someone in their personal worship may not be able to arrange.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you can arrange, then it's a nice thing. Mm-hmm. It looks always good.
Did he choose this jewel like a moon because it's the origin of the Yadava?
That's there, but also just the moon is effulgent, but they're pointing out it's pleasing, the aspect, rather than just bright. But you'll get those two aspects. So you see here is that Rupa Goswami's mention is much brighter than the, you know, about the shining rays, appears like this, like only a star. So that star means the sun is a star, the moon is a star. So it's just a matter of which aspect you're taking. So it discredits the sun, since the sun is so bright. But the point is that he is giving like the moon, because it's just so much more pleasing. Does that make sense? So different angles are brought out. Like we saw before, is that in listing the 32 qualities, Prabhupada brought out the same thing in different angles than Jiva Goswami. Like that. So it's not a contradiction. It's just you're getting more things here, because otherwise Jiva and Rupa aren't going to be contradictory. Mm-hmm. So why would Prabhupada and Jiva be? You know, it's just like Rupa Goswami mentions door. But the doors we deal with is not impressive. When we say doorway, then for us that will mean much more.
Yes. Yes.
You understand? But it's the same principle. So he says, because when you say the door, it includes the doorway.
Mm-hmm.
You say nice door, it's like, say you go up to, let's say, you know, an old building, you know, like that, the sculpture kind of building. The door has all the things around the doorway.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can call it a door, nice door, but also at the same time, as it's to understand the breadth, it's the doorway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're seeing it's that size of it rather than just the door itself. Is that?
Mm-hmm.
Covered by yoga maya. Prabhava sarvajit stitihi. Prabhava refers to his capacity to conquer all others. Like as before, then it was mentioned, Dhamma is effulgence, and Prabhava conquering the enemy. 2159. Seeing Madhava with his tender body from a distance in the wrestling arena, the group of wrestlers, though endowed with chests greater than mountains, became agitated with fear. Right? Because he just has that capacity to defeat all others. Because a lot of times it's the attitude like that. Like, what the boy was telling the other day, one of the boys was saying, because he was, he had a job at some place where he was working, and it was like, it was all kinds of like heavy kind of physical work. Like, I think they were sandblasting, they were cleaning the whole, you know, factory. So they were sandblasting everything like that. And so, you know, you generally have a particular kind of people that are there. You know, generally they have to be a little bit more physically strong and, you know, able to focus on this kind of work. And so, this boy was working there. And, you know, he'd do well. In fact, he probably put in more hours than anybody else. I think the boss had to tell him, you can't work that many hours. You know, you have to work less. So, in any case, it's going on. And then there was one other, and so they'd all sit afterwards, you know, at lunch break, they'd all sit together and eat. And one of the laborers there used to like to, for fun, kind of harass this devotee, you know, like this about, you know, generally about strength and this and that, because he was a kid and these others were, you know, probably, you know, much older. And so then this one starts up a thing, hey, you know, something came up, they were arguing over something stupid, you know, and Ida could tell it was all the joke, but, you know, the one was saying, you know, yeah, so let's, you know, shall we go for this, shall we step outside and all this, and trying to, you know, just create some bravado there, you know. And the devotee was, you know, no, it's okay, it's just like this. And, you know, taking that humble mood. And the other guy becomes that, gets more confident and all that. But then one of the others who, you know, is kind of a little bit more senior there and a little bit more mature, so, you know, they kind of tend to, you know, look up to him or something, you know. And it came up, someone saying, oh, you know, if it's between him and me, you know, who's going, you know, who do you think is going to win? He says, I'm going with the kid, you know. And the guy was like, why would you go with the kid? I'm bigger, I'm stronger, I'm this and that, you know, all these things, you know, like the wrestlers, you know. And he pointed out, because he had a, you know, shaved head and his face, you know. So he said, anybody that age with a shaved head, I wouldn't mess with them. It means something. Otherwise, at that age, they're growing their hair and being, you know, doing all that kind of stuff. So he says, this guy means business, you don't. So the same thing, Krishna's there, and even though his tender body from a distance, but just the attitude, they can tell, because he has that prabhava. Right, so that's the tejas. You can just see it. You can see, you know, like with the person is there and telling you, you know, yeah, go ahead. You know, you just know, okay, don't go ahead. You know, so does that make sense? So that he has that potency.
The case with Allabandhara Yamanacharya.
Oh yes,
fighting
yes.
with Kolatunga. The yeah. queen says, "I am." Betting for him half of the kingdom.
Yes, yes. Yes, yes. I mean, just by seeing him. This is before they started talking.
He's a small child.
Yeah, he was only, I think, 8 or 9. Somehow it seems to be that's the age to go to the king's court and defeat. Also, Astasvakra, he was that age. So he came in. His name wasn't Alabandhu at that time.
No, it wasn't. It was given later.
Yes. So then so just by seeing him, the queen know he's already won. Like that. So that's this potency. Right? So this is in something is there. And then we see because that's Yamunacharya. Mm-hmm. You know. So you know, there's already some. But then with Krishna it says it has that's the origin of all this. Seeing Madhava, okay, we saw Srila Prabhupada, the luster of the host of jewels fixed on the chest of the Lord can defeat even the luster of the sun, and still, when compared with the bodily luster of the Lord, that crest of jewels appears to be only as bright as one of the stars in the sky. Therefore, the transcendental influence of Krishna is so great that it can defeat anyone. When Krishna was present in the sacrificial arena of his enemy, King Kamsa, the wrestlers present, although appreciating the softness of the body of Sri Krishna, were afraid and perturbed when they thought of engaging with him in battle. Right? Because they'll condition their body so that they're very strong and can handle everything. They could tell as his body was very soft. They were appreciating how fine and soft. But at the same time as by this potency, this prabhava, then they understand, you know, they were afraid. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi ki.